Step up to the plate and relive the golden age of baseball. We are so excited to introduce Classic Baseball Broadcast, your future destination to relive in original broadcast format the most iconic games, legendary calls, and timeless moments from baseball history. Whether you're a diehard fan or just discovering the roots of the game, everything you need, because we have a treasure chest of baseball's greatest stories told by the folks who were there. Go ahead and visit ClassicBaseballBroadcast.com today. Sign up for free, and let's keep the spirit of America's pastime alive one inning at a time. Folks, wonder what happened on July 20th in baseball history? We got that for you right now. On July 20th, Hank Aaron makes his final trip around the bases. Christy Mathewson is traded. And Henny Manush, a dead ball star, is born. All that and more on July 20th, this day in baseball history.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never.
Welcome to Baseball History Daily. And before we jump into July 20th, just a reminder of what we talked about yesterday. We talked about debuts from Tony Gwynn, Honus Wagner, who got the ultimate compliment from Bill James, Juan Marichal, all debuted. Thurman Munson had his own little pine tar incident, and Cy Young won his 500th game. That was all that happened on July 20th, and we had that trivia question, who was the only member of the Southside Hit Club and the Lumber Company? You can check that out on yesterday's podcast. Now, we always like to start out with the birthday, because that's where it all begins for all of us, right? So he was born on July 20th, 1960 in Fullerton, California. Mike Witt. Now, he was a 6'7 pitcher. He was a big boy. And he was entering his prime years in position to become one of baseball's truly great pitchers for the Angels. He already had a perfect game. When he won 1-0 on September 30th, 1984 in Texas. He's selected to the 86 and the 87 squads. He had a great curveball, a good fastball, and he changed speeds well. Witt was really ascending among the Angels' all-time leaders in wins, games pitched, starts, complete games, strikeouts, innings pitched, shutouts. He led the club each year in those categories from 84 to 87, except shutouts. And he joined Dean Chance as the only pitcher to lead the Angels in wins four consecutive seasons. And he was the Angels' MVP in their near World Series appearance in 86. But suddenly, he lost his overpowering stuff in the middle of 1987. His strikeout numbers dropped substantially, and he was never quite the same again. He just wasn't able to reclaim that dominance. And the Yankees felt a change of scenery would bring Witt a bit of good. Maybe they'd find him himself. So they decided to trade Dave Winfield for him on May 11th, 1990. Witt never won more than five games for the Yankees during his tenure there, but Dave Winfield had a pretty good run with the Angels. Now, in today's debut, before I say this, I just have to say this was so hot. Jesse Haynes debuted today. Vita Blue, Cecil Fielder, and Jim Bunning. And there's just a few of the guys that debuted on July 20th. And as much as I really was torn between just talking about Vita, but I decided to talk about Jim Bunning. He's a Hall of Famer that we don't talk about a whole lot. And he debuted on July 20th, 1920 and 1955. He was the 11,289th player in Major League Baseball history. He got rocked pretty good in his debut. He pitched seven and two-thirds. He gave up eight hits, five strikeouts, and six earned runs, and he picked up the loss. Now, he debuted with some really, really tremendous players in 55. Sandy Koufax, Brooks Robinson, and Roberto Clemente. And he had some really odd things that happened during his career. On May 5th, in 1965, he became just the seventh player in Major League Baseball history to win a 1-0 game and drive in the only run with a home run. He hit that home run off of another future Hall of Famer, Warren Spahn. Phillies beat the Mets 1-0. And now you can actually listen to that game on Vintage Baseball Reflections. And at some point during this podcast, I'm going to bring you the clip of that home run. It's just too cool to ignore. He was also the only pitcher to strike out Ted Williams three times in a game. A lot of people would consider him a very consistent but unspectacular pitcher. He was the first pitcher to win 100 games in both leagues, the AL and NL. And when he retired, he was second to Walter Johnson in strikeouts with 2,885. But he never got a chance to taste the postseason. He also pitched a perfect game on Father's Day for the Phillies in 1964, and you can listen to that on Vintage Baseball Reflections as well. And he had a no-hitter in 1958 for the Tigers. He was one of the most prominent players in developing the Players Association. And after his career, he did enter politics and ultimately became a U.S. Senator. And he was voted into Cooperstown by the Veterans Committee in 1996. And today, thankfully for me, is my last day doing highlights because Robin's going to be back tomorrow. I'm excited about that. But I'll be getting to those in a second. And right now, I'm going to give you some trivia. Who hit the fly ball out that completed Nolan Ryan's first no-hit victory? He was also Steve Carlton's 19th strikeout victim when he set the NL strikeout record at the time. All right, so let's jump into July 20th highlights. On July 20th, 1976, future Hall of Famer Hank Aaron blasts the final home run of his legendary career. The Milwaukee Brewers designated hitter connects for 755 against Dick Drago of the California Angels. Aaron's home run helps the Brewers with a 6-2 victory. July 20th, 1944, Nelson Potter of the St. Louis Browns becomes the first major league pitcher to be suspended for throwing a spitball. Potter is forced to the sidelines for 10 days, but he's still going to win 19 games on the season, and the Browns' only World Series appearance happened in 44. In 1916, the Reds acquire three future Hall of Famers, Christy Mathewson, Ed Rush, and Bill McKechnie. Now, when they do this, they trade them for Buck Herzog, who was a former Giant, and Red Kilifer. Now, McKechnie is going to make the Cooperstown as a manager, not as a player, but Rush is going to be a real steal for the Reds, as he will become a superstar for them, and he's going to be somebody McGraw is always going to want to get back throughout his career. Mathewson will become a manager of the Reds, and the team's nickname is going to be coined the Matties. But the Reds will lose today when they manage just two hits off of Pete Alexander, who actually contributed two doubles himself to the Phillies' offense. In 1859, you could really say the business of baseball was starting to take off. At a racetrack at Long Island, about 1,500 fans became the first ever to pay to see a baseball game. The spectators spend 50 cents to watch New York defeat Brooklyn 22-18. So born on July 20th, 1901 in Alabama, future Hall of Famer Henny Manouche. He started out as a dead ball hitter, but the home runs really started gaining favor during his career, which wasn't really his thing. He was more of a line drive hitter, but he did pretty well. He posted a .330 career batting average. He won and lost a batting title on the final days of a season, and he benefited from the teachings of Ty Cobb, who was his first manager in the big leagues. And that was July 20th, this day in baseball history. Before I get to today's game, let's do a couple hints on today's trivia. In 1980, Sports Illustrated, Henry Hecht referred to him as the New York Mets' worst trade in their history when they traded him for Joe Foy. Interestingly enough, when Atlanta offered to trade Joe Torre for him, the Mets' GM at the time, Johnny Murphy, tagged him as untouchable. Who am I? So today's games, man, I'm going to bring you back in time. I'm going to bring you back to 1957 when you're going to be in Ebbets Field. You're going to listen to Vin Scully call the game between the Chicago Cubs and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Just think about this. Ernie Banks is going to be playing for the Cubs, and he's going to have one hell of a game. They're going to be playing against the Dodgers. And who's pitching for the Dodgers? Don Drysdale. In the lineup for the Dodgers, Duke Schneider, Gil Hodges, and Roy Campanella. This is a can't miss. You got to check this game out. Just take it on a walk for you a couple hours over at VintageBaseballReflections.com. You're going to be so happy that you listen to this game if you like baseball nostalgia. I also mentioned the 1964 perfect game and the May 5th game from 1965 from Jim Bunning. It's all over there at VintageBaseballReflections.com. I'm going to play you that home run from that May 5th game right now.
Lawrence Vaughn into the windup, and the pitch to Bunning, and it's outside for a ball. Bunning has had one hit this season. He is batting .091. A 1-0 pitch. Swung on and hit deep to right. Johnny Lewis racing way back, and it's over his head, and it is a home run for Jim Bunning. Into the bullpen in right field. The first extra base hit of the season for Bunning, and only the second hit of the season for him, as the Phillies take a 1-0 lead on a home run by pitcher Jim Bunning at an opposite field home run at that. It is from left on. Well, it was a magnificent pitching duel between Warren Spahn and Jim Bunning. Bunning winning his own ball game with a home run over the right field fence in the sixth inning. It was Bunning's first National League home run. He could not have picked a more opportune moment. Bunning was leading off in the top of the sixth inning when he tomahawked his home run over the right field fence into the Mets bullpen. After that, Warren Spahn then retired to third, but Bunning then went to the mound and made that one run stand up. Each pitcher walked only one man. Spahn walked only one. He struck out four. Bunning had struck out only two over the first eight innings, but finishing strong, he struck out three in the last of the ninth inning, so he wound up with one walk and five strikeouts. The Lions score in the ball.
And let's talk about that trivia. So he was the final out on May 15th, 1973, when he flew out. He was the 19th strikeout victim for Steve Carlton on September 15th, 1969. He actually had struck out four times in that game. Of course, Carlton's record's going to be broken later by Kerry Wood on May 6th, 1998. And he would say that despite the fact that he got a World Series ring in 1969 when he was eventually traded to the Kansas City Royals, it was the happiest day of his life. And who are we talking about? Amos Otis, who is one of the greatest players in the Kansas City Royals history. Let's talk about who's on deck for July 21st in baseball history. Well, that would be Pumpsy Green, who makes his debut. Clay Kirby is absolutely stunned when he's removed while he's pitching a no-hitter for a pinch hitter. Famous trade discussed on Seinfeld is made by the Yankees, and the greatest living player is announced in 1999. Thank you always to Robin from Robin Says. She'll be back tomorrow for the highlights. Looking forward to that. Horsehide trivia. What I love about the trivia that they provide, it's how they ask the questions. The first question, it's really unusual, so it's not so obvious that you can just answer it right off the bat. So cool stuff. I hope you subscribe to their newsletter and check out their links in the show notes. And until tomorrow, I'm going to bid you adieu with a closing message and an offer for you. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm glad you stuck around to the end. And I just wanted to credit those audio sources. That all the credits are in the show notes, as well as a link to all the audio libraries. As a quick reminder, the best way to stay connected with us is just to sign up for the daily newsletter. The daily newsletter has trivia, quotes, link to today's podcast, history, and much, much more. Everything is in the show notes. Just click away and enjoy. And I hope to see you at a ballpark real soon.